It'll be a blessing when we get all of that together. And it's going to come together. It always does. Amen. Don't leave here today. Don't let the enemy lie to you today that you didn't get a touch, because you got touched. Every one of us. God did something. I got up too early this morning for him not to have done something today. He woke me up at 1:30 this morning. Oh my gosh. I said, thank you for what you're going to do today. I said, Lord, I don't know all what you're going to do, but I know you're going to do what you need to do today in our lives. So it's not a coincidence that you are here today. Amen. So just expect awesome things. Amen. Expect blessings this week. I'm just going to step out there. How about checks in the mail? You wasn't expecting. Amen. He's done it before. He can do it again. Amen. 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 Y'all are walking testimonies of that. We all are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We serve a mighty God. The devil is a liar. Amen. 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 Okay. Well, you're going to have your Bibles today, amen, and your phones, because I don't think we have it online, do we? Are you showing it online up here? Okay, he's shaking his head no. So, oh my gosh, guess what? We'll have to use our phones and our iPads and our Bibles today. So hopefully you've brought something. That way you'll know I'm talking, I'm saying reading the right verses. Amen. Got to check on me. Make sure I'm not off in left field. I want to stay in right field. I like right field. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is where we'll start. I've got two verses there, verses 14 and 15. And then we'll go over to the second chapter of Mark. But Romans chapter 10, this is from the NIV. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Brother Gary, we talked about that. You did up here. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Verse 15. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. Can I tell you, the Lord, His word goes forth not only in the spoken word, but how about in a song, in the sung word? Amen. Through just helping somebody, not even speaking it, but just loving on somebody, helping them, showing His love. It opens a door then for the gospel. Okay, over in the book of Mark chapter 2, beginning with the 13th verse, 13 through 17, I think we'll go with. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. My title this morning is in the form of a question: Are we being salt and light in a dark world? Well, let me just ask us, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been somewhere and suddenly you see someone that you would rather not be around? Oh my gosh. A person that you usually do your best to avoid, as sad as that may be. Sometimes it's happened at school events, or it happens at the park, or maybe a restaurant, or some type of social event. We see someone and we would just rather not have to spend any time with them. We see the same thing happening in our passage this morning. It's a passage that if we allow it to, it can help us better understand who Jesus is and what He is calling us to do as a person and as a group of people. It all revolves around a person by the name of Levi. And let's look at what is going on with this man this morning for just a few minutes. Plenty of remarkable people have been named Levi throughout history. And perhaps the most notable one that all of us would recognize was a man by the name of Levi Loeb Strauss. And Levi Strauss was a Jewish immigrant who founded Levi Strauss and Company in California that had been making denim jeans, denim blue jeans, since 1853. The name Levi happens to be an old name. Its roots all go all the way back to the time of Jacob and Leah, his wife. If you remember the story, Jacob had two wives, along with two maidservants who would bear him children also. Two wives that were sisters, Leah and Rachel. These two women spent most of their adult lives competing with each other for Jacob's love and his attention. The Bible tells us that between the two, Rachel was the love of Jacob's life, while Leah was considered as an add-on wife. Leah was the wife that Jacob had not sought to marry, a wife that had been tricked, that he had been tricked into marrying. It was Leah, however, that would bear Jacob the most children. And that day it was thought that the woman who could bear the most children would also be the woman that would be the most loved. In Leah's case, that was not what happened. Levi happened to be Leah's third child. She named him Levi because the name means joined or adhered. Levi's name then was to remind Jacob that he needed to be loyal always to Leah. He needed to understand that she was more than just a breeder mom. She was his first wife. She was the woman who was bringing his children into the world. So she was to be honored above Rachel, who at that time was childless. In time, we see the tribe then that was started through Levi became very important. You may remember that Aaron and his sister Miriam and Moses, they were all three from the tribe of Levi. And you may also remember that the Levites became the tribe of priests for the children of Israel. God gave them that honor because above all the other tribes, the tribe of Levi became known for their intense love for God and for God's teachings. Later, it was the Levites who took care of the tabernacle, and they took care of the temple and taught the other tribes about the Lord God. To bear the name Levi was to bear a proud name, a name that spoke about God, about faithfulness, and about service to God. A name that was given to a person whose whom the parents had high hopes would live up to that name, that they would live a life worthy of being called Levi, one that was loyal to God and to His commandments. But as we began to read then our story this morning, this man here, Levi, was not serving in the temple or even in the synagogue. He was instead working for Herod Antipas as a tax collector and as a toll collector. And when Jesus was born, the people of Israel were under the leadership of a king named Herod the Great. And after his death, his kingdom was split up between his three sons, Herod Antipas, Herod Philip, and Herod Archelaus. Each one of them would charge people each time they would go from one of their kingdoms to the next. If you wanted to go from the north to the south, then you would have to go through the land ruled by Antipas and Archelaus. You would even have to go through a bit of the land ruled by Philip. Each time you would touch then one of their lands, there was a toll that had to be paid. Anyone traveling across the USA understands what it means to pay a toll. Amen? We have a toll road between Cleburne and Fort Worth. A lot of people use it and pay the tolls. They say there's still approximately over 5,000 miles of highway that require a toll to be paid. And most of that mileage we find is in the Northeast, it's said, but there's still quite a few toll roads in places in the South like Alabama and Georgia and even out here in Texas. One of Levi's jobs then was to make sure that people traveling from one kingdom to the next paid their toll. Most of the people at that time did not like toll collectors, nor did they like tax collectors. I don't necessarily like tax collectors. The Bible says we have to love them. Didn't say we had to like them. Okay. All right. It hadn't been too long ago that under the one king, Herod the Great, that you could go from the Galilee to the Jordan River and then on to Jerusalem without having to reach into your pockets for a coin or two. But now it seemed like everywhere you went, there was a toll booth set up and someone with their hand out expecting you to give them money. And so you could either not travel or you could take your goods from the Sea of Galilee to the Jordan River or to the city of Jerusalem and pay your toll. And that was Levi's job then, to collect the money at his booth. And if you didn't want to pay, all he had to do was to contact either the Roman soldiers who were close by or one of Herod's men. And suddenly you might find yourself either imprisoned or beaten or your goods confiscated for the tax purposes. So you can imagine that Levi then had very few friends. In some areas, toll collecting became a racket. The toll booth collector or the tax collector would conspire with either the Romans or Herod's soldiers, and they would overcharge people and pocket the surplus. And again, if you didn't pay, they could either take your goods or charge you with a crime or just beat you right there on the spot. And so it's no wonder then, but by the time Jesus comes along, toll collectors and tax collectors were seen as some of the worst people in their areas. They were considered by many to be the worst of sinners, people that richly deserved going to hell. All of that is part of Levi's background. And the deeper then that you read, even in the Gospels, the more you begin to realize that Jesus might seem to be himself one mysterious person. He starts off his career as a carpenter. And then we see that Jesus gets baptized. And he then begins traveling and sharing the good news of the repentance and salvation. And he calls a group of people together to teach them and for them to go out and also share the good news of repentance and salvation. However, Jesus doesn't start at either the temple or the synagogue. He doesn't go to the scribes or to the Pharisees who oversaw religious things. We talked about the Sadducees Wednesday night. They were sad, you see. He calls fishermen like Simon. And then there was James and John, who were known as the sons of thunder because of their fiery personalities. And now we find Jesus stops at Levi's booth and calls Levi. Why would he do such a thing? What does this man have to offer Jesus? What possible good will it do for Jesus to reach out to a man who is basically a pariah, meaning a man who is constantly being hated by all of those traveling who never know if they have paid the right amount or if they're getting robbed every time they have to pay a toll? What in the world does the healer, the teacher of the good news, have to do with this type of person, Roy? Well, you have to step back a moment and reflect on who Jesus is and what his mission was. And the deeper you read then into the gospel story, the more you begin to realize that, number one, Jesus specialized then and he specializes today in people who are seen as rejects. While Jesus does not shy away from the rich and the famous like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, he seems like he had a special liking to all of those who seemed as rejects. He reaches out to people like the woman at the well. And then he reaches out to Mary Magdalene. The woman at the well either could not keep a husband, or she was simply rejected by man after man until she had to stay with a man who would not even give her the right of marriage. That's what the Bible says. Mary Magdalene, who the Bible plainly tells us, suffered from the wreckage of having been possessed by 7 demons. A woman that suffered great physical, emotional, and spiritual distress. We can read in the Bible. In reading the Bible, have you ever noticed how Jesus reached out to those whose sickness made it impossible for them to be part of a community? That included those who were suffering from leprosy and blindness and other physical hardships. All of those people were seen as people that God had either shunned or cursed, and yet they are the very people that Jesus is seen talking to and touching. Even a part of Jesus' teaching was about a young man who wasted all of his resources on prostitutes and foolish living, only to have Jesus share how a loving father reclaimed and redeemed that young man. It seemed like no one was beyond Jesus' reach. And then number two, Jesus does not worry about becoming infected. At that time, it was generally believed that the only way to love God and follow God was to stay as far away from sin and sinners as possible. To be near the lepers, tax collectors, and prostitutes was to endanger your soul. Yet the way we see Jesus act, guess what? It's the direct opposite of that. Brother David, he approaches it from the other side of the coin, so to speak. Those who are covered over in sin are more in danger of being infected by his holiness than he is to their sickness or their sinfulness. Jesus doesn't shy away from those who are sinful or who has been seen as sinful. Instead, he reaches out to them and he offers them the good news. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. Repent. Turn your life around and follow me. Jesus did not say, Levi or Simon or Mary and the rest of you, get your act together. You get all cleaned up and then you come and find me and we will see if you get to be a part of my group. He didn't do that, did he? No, Jesus just shows up or he attends one of their parties and begins to invite people then to turn their lives around and follow him as he leads them to life, to a life of more abundant living. A life that is now guided and directed by the Holy Spirit or by God's Spirit. I want to share this story again with you. I shared it sometimes back. It might have been even last year. But I think it's worth hearing again. And it's relevant for us today. Especially us being 2 weeks away from our outreach. Here's a story. Some of you heard, some of you may remember it. Years ago, a young pastor visiting Hawaii could not fall off to sleep one night. So getting up, he ventured outside his hotel and he began walking down the different streets close to his hotel. And on one street, he started listening to a group of ladies talking. They were not just any ordinary group of ladies. They were a group of prostitutes. And one lady was declaring that the next day would be her 39th birthday. And the other ladies began then asking, well, what do you want for your birthday? Did she want a party? They would ask. And she replied that she had never had a birthday party. She never remembered having, here she was 39 years of age. And so she didn't expect that she would ever have a birthday party. The young pastor suddenly got an idea. And guess what? Really, it was a God idea. After they were gone, he went up to the diner near where they were talking. And he asked if he could pay for a surprise birthday party for the woman next door, or for the woman the next day. The owner agreed. And so the next day, a birthday party was given in her honor. The cries of happy birthday from her friends and this one strange young man not only surprised her, but it shocked her. She asked if she could take her cake home. And of course, they all agreed. And then she left. She didn't know what to do with this party for her. She didn't really even know how to act. No one had ever done something like that for her ever before. Especially a stranger that she had never met. And so before she left, the young pastor asked if he could pray for her. And she agreed. And guess what? The party or the prayer startled the owner of the diner. Praying with a prostitute? Praying for a prostitute? Who was this young man? Well, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to? And this young man responded, here we go now. The young man responded that he belonged to the type of church that would take the time to throw a birthday party for a prostitute at 3:30 in the morning. I like those kind of churches. Hear me. And it's that same type of thinking that has propelled all kind of ministries. Children's ministries, youth ministries, recovery ministries, medical ministries, food ministries, because if you've worked in any of those ministries, you quickly begin to understand that all kind of people walk through your doors. I know in the 30 years that we've been a ministry here, we've seen them, good people coming in, and also what we would think of as bad people. People who suffer from 1,001 addictions. They had issues and problems. And yes, they were bound in religion. And it is then we are faced then with a question. Do we open our doors to those who we might think will infect us with their issues and their addictions and their sins? Or, here we go again, or do we open our doors so that they will be transformed by the light and the salt that we are supposed to be possessing? The church and the earth has, since its beginnings, had to face that reality. And this morning, giving what we've heard, we all have to be transformed. Because we want to see others transformed, we have to be transformed ourselves. So again, the church at large has, since its beginning, had to face that reality. Who does it let in? Who does it go after? Who does it welcome? And sadly, more times than we think, the church has not always had an open door to those who it was called, who they called fallen or addicted or sin-filled. Now, isn't that sad? It has often tried to be a place where the world cannot get in, yet where we try to keep everyone safe and secure. Now, I think that's kind of mixed up, don't you? God's going to take care of us. We've got security in place. But we're going to welcome. We're going to have open doors. Amen. Amen. And sadly, I won't name the churches, but there's two big prominent churches out on the freeway, out on 67. And years ago, and I'm just going to be honest with you, the story was going around and they were laughing how they had sent one homeless man who stunk and was terrible, said, "You need to go next door to that church. They'll help you over there." They didn't want him in their church. Oh my gosh. When I said that, I said, "You send them over here. You send them to Fifth and whatever our street is out here, Sparks." Amen. I know a place. New Wine Depot. They can come get some new wine. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. This passage of Scripture in Mark then reminds us that like Jesus, we are to see ourselves as more of a threat to evil and a threat to sin. Sin and evil as a threat to us, not as a threat to us. We are to see ourselves with our salt and light, being able to free people and save people and redeem people. More than the world can enslave people. More than the world can defeat people. More than the world can harm people. Understand something with me this morning. Jesus was not worried about being around sinners. In fact, he loved to talk to them, work with them, and even eat with them. He loved to be with them and help them discover a whole brand new life. And so as we get closer then to our Thanksgiving outreach on the 22nd, let's take up the challenge to reach out to someone that really needs the gospel of Jesus in their lives. We're going to have that opportunity, especially at our outreach. Listen, you may not be comfortable talking to those that you've never met before, but surely you could make them welcome at our event when they walk on those grounds at that park. You can also saturate this event with your prayers and this church body with your prayers as we prepare for this outreach. Allow the Holy Spirit then to open a door for conversation. He'll give you the words to say. You might see something about them or know something or had heard something that'll give you an open door to be able to talk to them. Remember, we are to be salt and light to a world that desperately needs God's salvation, that needs His healing and His delivering power. Understand that our world is full of people like the woman at the well, Mary Magdalene, and yes, people like Levi. And guess what? All of those are really a lot of our own neighbors. All needing our love, all needing our compassion, all are needing Jesus. This morning we have to decide, do we go right on by the Levites that we encounter, or do we desire to do our best to invite them to follow us as we follow Jesus? Do we really have room at our table for the woman at the well? Do we have room at our table for Mary Magdalene? Well, this is hard, but we have to hear it. Are we more afraid that our spirituality will be infected by their sin? No. Or do we have the understanding that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we may be the very means by which they are redeemed, Brother Tony, and freed for a life of abundant living? We all are being challenged this morning. Will we pass the test? That's the question. Or will the Lord have to look for another? I don't want Him to do that. I personally believe that He's called and anointed every one of us for this thing, for now. And I, for one, do not want to miss out on fulfilling His purpose in my life and His purpose in this church. Can you say amen? Amen. So as I'm ending here, begin to pray now for our upcoming outreach on the 22nd. And do what this church family is known for, and that is we love people. We love people. And what else? We never give up on people. Amen. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. I want to be salt and light to a dark world. I want to be contagious. Amen. In a good way. In a good way. Amen. I don't want my mouth covered with some mask that I can't talk to somebody about Jesus. Praise God. God is so good. I want to tell you, God has done a work in the house today. He's touched hearts today. And He's touched bodies today. And He's touched minds today. Hallelujah. He wants us whole, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You today. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You that You looked down and You saw where every one of us were at one time in our sins, and that You put somebody in our path that reached out to us. And You picked us up out of that miry clay. And You set us up on solid ground. And so I thank You today. I thank You that You've gathered this body of people together for such a time as this. And that we're determined anew today that we're going to go forth and carry out Your plan and purpose for our lives. We want to hear when we stand before you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest."